Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love must be genuine. Have an integrity, a wholeness to it. I believe the first time that I ever ran into ethics was probably at the end of Mom's finger going, "Shame on you, Cody. You know better than that." Now, the second time I actually came face to face with ethics was philosophy class. And I was like, "I'm not sure what ethics is, but will you please stop using that language around me?" You know. And then I got into it that ethics, it's a short word for who knows what. But the cool thing is, I was driving down Chendon just yesterday, and the plumbing company has an award in ethics. Isn't this great news? I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I mean, they got the award for being an ethical business. It's like, this is fantastic. This is great. What in the heck is ethics anyway? Well, I don't know, but please don't study it, because then you go in this really weird rabbit trail of all kinds of stuff where it comes back to what is just right living and what is good living and what is good and bad. And we need to define those terms just a little bit as well. This passage begins, I believe, it's a culmination of a lot of things. Because we've already heard just a few of these other passages about how we are to act as our spiritual act of worship and to really live with one another. But there is an earthiness to the gospel. I love reading, you know, scripture, and I love singing songs, and I love going to church, and I can't wait to get to heaven, and I want to preach the gospel and all of that stuff. And then you read, it's like, hey, if your cow gets out on your neighbor's lawn, then you have to repay him 4 bushels of wheat or something. And you're like, I don't get this crap at all, you know. And there is a very lived experience. So if you're chopping wood and your axe head falls off and kills someone, then you need to make some retribution. And somehow there's a whole lot of life between Sunday morning sermon and the next Sunday morning sermon. And I believe that Paul really gets at the heart of some of this, because these two words, that love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, this idea of love and goodness are at the very heart of who we are as a community and a people of faith. In fact, at the very beginning, the only reason we have an understanding of goodness is, well, let me take you back to the creation story. Because God, in all of his is, he creates, right? In the beginning, God, this is where we find him, our whole beginning and end. God, he creates, so we know he creates, and then he begins to define for us what is good. Reference back to what, who is good, from Dr. Williams as well. And then love. Love must be sincere, must be genuine. And this is really important for us to understand that it's happened a lot, but for God so loved the world that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and love is patient and kind. And so we have an understanding that this really is, love and goodness really is at the heartbeat of who we are as a community of faith. And for me, I think this message is really very difficult for this reason. I believe you can take this passage, minus the last two that reference Old Testament things, and you can pick this message up about being good to people and loving one another and you know, being patient in affliction and all this stuff. And it would fit very nicely in Buddhist teaching. It fit very nicely in a lot of cults that we have. It would fit very nicely in a lot of humanistic senses. And so my question is, what is the differentiation? Because if you're like me, you've heard a lot of your language has been pulled away from you. Maybe you don't feel like that, but I sure do. I feel like I sit and I go to leadership conferences and they talk about civility. We should be civil with one another and we should love each other. And I'm like, duh. We should have been doing that a long time ago. And now I go to some community conventions and they're all about, we need to love everyone no matter where they come from. And we've been doing that for thousands of years. So here's my question. How do we differentiate civility and Christianity? How do we differentiate these social programs and social justice with what true mercy and justice really is? Let me tell you this, is that I believe the differentiation element is our conversion experience with God Almighty. And with that, the love, the genuineness of our love and our understanding of what is evil and good flows out of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work within our heart. It is not a created element that we implement and live out. Do you hear me on that? Because this is so key for us to understand how to live in this world. It is not something that is created. It is manifest within the Spirit's work within our hearts and within our life. And I believe for me, this is such a heavy message, I would say, because there's a couple of things that really come to mind. One would be an interaction that Jesus has, and another one is a story that Jesus tells as well. And the first one, he goes to the religious, to the church leaders in the town. And how many of you have ever known a church leader in your life? Only three or four of you. This is very intriguing. How many of you go to church anymore? It's okay. So not all of you have been with a church leader. Some of you go with church. This is confusing. But we're just going to go with that. Maybe you know what church leaders are. We can maybe make that assumption. And a lot of church leaders that I've interacted with, they really try to love Jesus and love people. And they've tried to do it faithfully over time. And Jesus comes along to these church leaders who have been faithfully trying to live this life. And he says, woe to you because you got everything right. I mean, honestly, Sunday morning worship was, mwah, it was fabulous. It was great. Lighting was good, tech was great, slides went well, thought you exegeted it good, greeting was well, parking lot greeters were there, excellent, it's fantastic, except that you forgot the relationship with God. And the only thing that the inside of you smells like is death. And I read that passage and I'm like, dear God, will you please allow me to never be like that? Because honestly, I know all the right things to do. I hate to be pompous and arrogant, but I just know all the right things to do. I grew up in the church. I fronted church my whole high school career. But when I went into the military, the death of a non-relationship with God took over. And God, may it never be like that again. And he says this, at the end of time, God will come with all of his angels and his saints and everything like that, and he's going to separate people. I thought we were about unity, God. Yep. We are until now, and I'm going to separate them out, and we're going to have the sheep, and we're going to have the goats, and I'm going to say to these people over here, man, you did a great job, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me, and these people over here are going to be absolutely aghast, because if I knew you were hungry, I would have fed you. I bought your favorite cereal and everything. And if you were naked, believe me, I would have been the first one that noticed. I notice things like this, okay? They call me the clothing code enforcer for a reason, okay? I know if hem lines are too high, I know if cleavage is too low. So if you are naked, I know that. I would have been on that. If you were in prison, I feel like I would have known that too. Because quite frankly, in my free time, I scroll the county jail thing. I know it's sick, but I would have known that. God, how can you be like that? Love must be genuine, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And very quickly, we can be doing all of the right things. We can be advocating for all of the right people groups and the right agendas. And we can be financing and being activated and miss God. Because our ethic of love is not a created element that we add in and live according to, but it is a manifestation of a converted and changed and consecrated life, the Holy Spirit's work. Let me give you some parameters. Here, just a minute, because here in just a minute, we're going to start the message, okay? So we got the disclaimer out of the way. They told me, just a side note, Derek said, don't worry about the time. It's just a suggestion. We built a buffer in. I said, fantastic. It's so great. Lederbach writes this in Ethics as Worship. Failure to remember that the first and greatest commandment of the law is that we acknowledge, worship, and love God will cause our ethical systems to become vehicles for a counterfeit, man-centered religion. Oh, you know all of the things. You know all of the right rituals to do. But on the inside, you are like whitewashed tombs. Let me give you a few parameters on this passage. So I'm going to go real quickly on this because this passage is a lived passage. So may I give you a few helpful pointers and may you live it until Jesus comes again. Because I believe we have some great boundaries for our ethics. We have some guidance for us personally, how we should live as a church, and then how we need to love the world. Because within this passage, there are three things. If we were to put a banner for the community of faith on, we have them in this passage. Be devoted to one another in love. There must be a loyalty quotient within the community of faith. These are the boundaries, okay? These are the boundaries of ethics. If we think of the sandbox, okay? These are the places where you can go. Daddy says you can go here and here. I don't care. Swing set, slide, whatever. That's fine. Don't go across the road, okay? And don't play in the dead burn parking lot. Just, it's a good. Swings are good. Play in there. This is it. The boundaries is loyalty. Loyalty. Be devoted to one another in love. There should be a defining deference in the community of God. We should learn how to honor one another above ourselves. In humility, live with one another. There should be an active deference among us, to defer to someone else. We see it all the time because God's like, hey, have you seen my son? And the son's like, hey, I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, there's God over here. And there's a deference even in the Godhead. And as we live that deference, we live the Trinity among us. And the other boundary for our ethic and our lived experience should be that of passion. Never lose your zeal for pursuing God, for serving God. Keep that spiritual fervor fresh. Love is genuine and sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be a people that are committed to one another, that champion one another, and you just do it with gusto. Let's move just a moment, because there is a tension that we are called to live in. There's a tension that we are called to live in. How many of you know that you are a citizen of heaven and you can't wait to get there? We are having a little bit more participation now. Maybe it was you were sleeping earlier, okay? How many of you know that, oh dear Lord, how much more do I have to live to get there? Okay, just me and you. I understand. I am with you, dear sister. Yes, I hear you. We live in this tension of already and not yet. And this is a tension that God calls us to live in. We are sojourners in this land. We will always live in a tension. And there's a few things. In the midst of anxiety and fear, have any of you been anxious before? Fearful before? Known people around you that are anxious about, I just had a granola bar, but I'm not sure if I'm going to have lunch soon enough. I've been there. Yes. Yeah. He says, joyful. We have a joy that passes all understanding because we have a hope in God. I talked to some of the freshman class coming through. We have a testing instrument, and you know, we have a lot of students, myself, us. We have amped up the anxiety in our lived experience. Isn't that great? How cool is that? I mean, we're just anxious about everything. We are more anxious than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, you know? I mean, we're just running around on eggshells, and it's just like, I don't know what's going on. I just feel all, you know, ramped up on the inside, you know? It's like, I know I'm ramped up, but give me another cup of coffee in Jesus, and we'll get this taken care of. And I'm here to tell you that there's a couple of things, and it's the only way out, and I tell my students this, here's the order of things. You must engage the spiritual disciplines. You must. You're going to blow up on the inside. And I'm not talking this like, well, I'll tell you what, I signed up and I get a verse of scripture a day push to my email, and then you want to know how pious I am? I amped it up, and it's going to my text message, too. Boom. I know. Don't worry about it. I got this God thing covered. No. The spiritual disciplines talk about developing a relationship with God. So the scripture reading, slowly, of saturating ourselves in it, of solitude, of prayer, of journaling. And oftentimes, even though we do get our one verse of scripture a day, but oftentimes, yeah. How many of you have ever talked to someone and, oh, I'm so sorry. I got a text in. Sorry about that. Yep, sorry about that. I don't know. And I have a feeling that we're still pulling that into our relationship with God. We're going to cover that, but if we are going to be joyful in hope, we have to connect with the hope of God in our life. And I don't think we're doing a good job of that at all. We are called, in this culture that seeks pleasure and entertainment, we are called to patiently live the affliction of Christ. We are to be called to be patient in affliction. Now remember that I'm adding a context to this passage that I don't think we realize, that we are called to be patient in affliction, in this idea that sometimes we live not for the pleasure and the entertainment of things. Oftentimes we have a tendency, even in our church services, to critique it based on the recreational value instead of the ritual and the rhythm that it needs for our life. We have to be faithful in prayer. If this ethic is going to be a manifestation of the Spirit's work within us, then personally speaking, we must do the hard work of cultivating a relationship with God. To discern, to eat His word. We have to have times where we take the distractions and we leave them alone, make sure we don't have that, and we come to God and say, God, I'm really confused about, and can you help me learn from as well? As a church, there's a couple of things that Paul guides us on, that we are to live within this community of faith. He says, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. We talked about spiritual gifts, and I've always said, well, guess what? God gives this spiritual gift to every believer that is in relationship with Him, love and hospitality, okay? So anyone can invite someone over and have a bowl of cereal with them. I don't know if you know this, but I'm not high maintenance. All you got to do is give me a paper bowl and crunchy raisin bran is up there, but it has a high sugar content, but whatever, okay? But let me share with you a third one in this series that I believe is worked out within the community of faith first. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Bless those who persecute you. If you're a church leader in here, you have probably been persecuted. If you're a Christian in here, you've probably been persecuted. If you've been married, you've probably been persecuted. I didn't say from which party, okay? The deepest hurts and the most trauma, if we want to use these loaded words, have been from church leaders, not from the outside world in my life. Bless those who persecute you. This is a lived ethic within the people of God. The cool thing about family is you don't get to pick the personalities that are in there. Can't get an amen from the parents, because I guarantee you there are some different personalities I would have chosen. Okay? God made them. I have to live with them. And I continue to practice blessing upon my children, you know, and blessing upon the people of God. And I want to live in community as well. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, associate with everyone, don't pay evil for evil. It's interesting to me that this passage of grab bag is very reflective of Leviticus 19, and we have been practicing this same thing for thousands of years, okay? God cares about the poor, He cares about the disabled, He cares about everyone He cares about, and live the long game. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, You, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Live at peace with yourself. Live at peace with those that God has put you in with. Your family, your church family, your community. Live at peace with them. Don't jump in the judgment's chair. Don't think that you can administer judgment and you can dispense the grace and mercy like God can. On the contrary, follow Jesus' example. Follow his example. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. If he spits on you and says, crucify him, say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. I want to leave you with this a little bit. And I think this is why this passage has been really difficult for me, is because I have desired for many years to be a follower of God and to be the best one I can, to be the best person, to be the best wherever God puts me, to be the best dad, be the best husband, be the best volunteer, be the best worker at BBC, be, you know, whatever it is. And it feels like so much today that people ask you a question only with the expectation of trying to write a label and stick it on you. Hey, what do you believe about this political candidate? What do you believe about the leak, about the Supreme Court? What do you believe about, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I have very much felt, and specifically the last couple of years, I felt myself shrink back just a little bit. Because honestly, I mean, I do care about things that are going on in our community, but honestly, I'm not a conservative. And quite frankly, I'm not a liberal because I don't want to be defined by those terms. Okay? And when you ask my position on diversity and equity and inclusion, you know, what's your position on DEI? I'm always like, well, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Yeah, I've never had a problem with anyone. And the moment that I try and teach my children that the rainbow, it is given to us as a people of God, of God's covenant, that he will never again destroy thee. But when I see the rainbow now, I have to feel like I subscribe to some sexual spectrum, agenda, and all of this stuff. And quite frankly, I just want to follow God. And I don't know if you feel it, but I felt myself shrink back a lot. Well, what do you believe about masking and COVID and long-term and all this stuff? I just want to love people. I really don't care. Can't we all get along and just love Jesus? But I will say this. We are not a people that shrink back. We are a people that dig in. We have already said our ethic doesn't come from a created man-made. It comes from a manifestation of the Spirit. And so when we feel like we are to shrink back, I encourage you to dive deep. Take these questionings. Take the fear. Take the shrinking to Jesus and say, God, where do I need to be passionate on? We know that there are social agendas that were only advanced and only successful because people were passionate about God and they changed the world because out of the outpouring of what they read and they devoted this ethic of love as they looked to the Savior changed the world. My encouragement for you is, do we have an ethic of love? Lived in the footsteps of a suffering Savior that will change the world? Or is our ethic just about good living and trying to make sure that we are in step with a world that has no clue where they're going? Love is sincere. Love is genuine. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good.